أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon his pure and beloved messenger, the peak of his creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. Respected brothers and sisters at HIC Peterborough, and all those around the world, I extend to you my sincerest condolences on the arrival of the tragic month of Muharram. In this month, our hearts turn to the land of Karbala, to the land of tragedy, to the land of pain and sorrow, and to the land of sacrifice, patience, and forbearance. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. As long as this universe exists, O Aba Abdullah, as long as there is day and night, I send my salam to you. I salute you for your sacrifice, for your accomplishments on the day of Ashura. On this day, we also extend our condolences to the Imam of our time, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. Every year, he relives the tragedies of his grandfathers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring comfort to the heart of our beloved Imam. May Allah hasten his reappearance. In our discussion this evening, we will examine the life of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam in Mecca, the very last stop before the event of Karbala for Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam and his family was the city of Mecca. They spent several months in the holy city of Mecca. If you would like to examine the last several months of the life of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, you examine his blessed life in the holy city of Mecca. Al-Imam Al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi left the city of Medina after Muawiyah died, and Yazid was appointed as the new caliph. The Imam alayhi salam leaves on the 27th day of the month of Rajab, and he arrives in the holy city of Mecca on the third day of Sha'ban, year 60 after the Hijrah. So we can estimate that the journey of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, along with his companions and family, from Medina to Mecca took about 5 days, from the 27th of Rajab until the 5th of Sha'ban. When the caravan of Imam Husayn alayhi salam approached the city of Mecca, and when Imam Husayn alayhi salam saw the mountains of the city of Mecca, he recited verse 22 of Surah Al-Qasas. The Imam alayhi salam recited, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. He quoted Prophet Musa alayhi salam. After his departure from Egypt, Prophet Musa alayhi salam headed towards Madian, the city of Prophet Shu'aib. And he said, I hope my Lord will show me the right path, will guide me to the right path. We wonder, why is it that Imam Husayn alayhi salam recited this particular verse when he arrived the land of Mecca, when he saw the mountains of Mecca? It's as if the Imam alayhi salam was indicating that you have a long journey ahead of you, just like Musa had a long journey ahead of him. He went for many years, nearly 10 years, to Madian. He spent some time with Shu'aib, and then he had a mission, another journey to go back to Egypt and warn the evil Pharaoh of his time. Musa met the tyrant of his time, one of the most evil tyrants in history that the Holy Quran condemns. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was also confronting the worst tyrant of his time, one of the most evil tyrants in human history. We see this parallel. And it may be for this reason that Imam Hussein alayhi salam quoted this verse. Just as Musa faced the massive army of the Pharaoh, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to face the massive armies of Ibn Ziyad and Yazid, son of Muawiyah. It seems that also Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, by reciting this blessed verse, he's actually reminding himself and reminding us that Allah is with me. For Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the sea for him, and Allah saved him and Bani Israel from the evil Pharaoh. But for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allah will save Islam through my martyrdom. My name will survive in history. Allah is with me. I may be martyred. I may be massacred. My own children will be massacred before my eyes, but millions will be inspired by me. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the sea for Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will split the spiritual seas for me. And I will reach to every corner of the world. And millions of people will flock to my grave. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stood with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternalized Imam Hussein alayhi salam in history. So the Imam alayhi salam, on the 3rd of Sha'ban, which marks his birthday according to a number of traditions, arrives in the land of Mecca. How long does Imam Hussein alayhi salam spend in the holy city of Mecca? According to historical reports, the Imam alayhi salam spends 4 months and 5 days. Now, why did Imam Hussein alayhi salam choose to go to Mecca specifically? Why not some other city? When he had to leave Medina to avoid pledging allegiance to Yazid at the court of the governor's palace, the Imam alayhi salam chose Mecca as his new place of settlement before he would go to Karbala. Why did he choose Mecca? We know that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam had very little support in Mecca. The Meccans were dominated by the Qurayshis. The Qurayshis were 25 tribes at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. All of them were anti-Islam and anti-Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They tried to assassinate the Prophet. Only the Bani Hashim, out of these 25, only the Bani Hashim, they stood with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Most of these other tribes, they fought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And they were uneasy about this new message. They were not comfortable. Why did God choose Muhammad out of all of us to convey his message? There was a lot of jealousy and resentment. That's why in one very effective hadith, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam states that the Meccans despised God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for choosing the Ahlul Bayt, for choosing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and his family. They had a problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did you choose them? And they despised the Ahlul Bayt. Imam Ali alayhi salam killed many of their warriors at the battle of Badr and Uhud and other battles. They despised the Ahlul Bayt. In fact, things got so bad around Mecca and Medina, such that Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Al-Imam al-Sajjad, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in one narration, which Ibn Abi al-Hadid mentions in his commentary on Nahj al-Balagha. Listen to what Al-Imam al-Sajjad says. And this is a very sad reality. It brings pain to our hearts when we hear a hadith like this. And Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam in this hadith states, مَا بِمَكَّةَ وَالْمَدِينَ 20 رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّنَا. In all of Mecca and Medina, you cannot find 20 men who love us, the Ahlul Bayt. Allahu Akbar. These holy lands, the lands of Rasulullah, not 20 men sincerely love you, the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam says, no. See what a sad reality that was. And subhanAllah, Allah makes one request from Muslims in the Holy Quran when it comes to compensating the Prophet. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I only ask you to love my family. That's the only way you can compensate me. Yet Imam Sajjad alayhi salam reveals to us that not 20 men really loved the Ahlul Bayt in Mecca and Medina. Mecca, it was dominated by the Qurayshis and they despised the Ahlul Bayt. The people of Medina, they abandoned the leadership of Imam Ali alayhi salam out of jealousy. Why does he get all the virtues? But then one may wonder that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in his sermon in Syria, when he confronted Yazid and he delivered that powerful sermon, the Imam alayhi salam states, "U'tina sittan wa fadhalna bisab." Allah has given us six characteristics, six virtues, and he has favored us with seven. When he talks about one of those six, he states, وَالْمَحَبَّةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah has put the love of us in the hearts of the believers. He's instilled our love in the hearts of the mu'mineen. So there were no mu'mineen around Mecca and Medina except 20. Yes, that's the stark reality. Other than Bani Hashim and the relatives of Al-Imam Al-Husayn, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, especially after the event of Karbala, during the era of the Umayyads, there were no believers around Mecca and Medina, except for a few. The Imam says barely 20 love us. That means there are barely 20 believers in Mecca and Medina. Real believers, not superficial Muslims who just call themselves Muslim by name. This is indeed a very disturbing reality. Yes, there were companions who truly loved the Ahlul Bayt elsewhere. Some of them in Yemen, some of them in Kufa, in other places. But around Mecca and Medina, there was not much support. So why would Imam Hussein alayhi salam then go to Mecca when he knows that the Meccans are not too friendly? They don't really love the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam alayhi salam goes shortly before the Hajj season to meet Muslims from all over the Muslim world. It's the Umrah season, it's the Hajj season. Rajab is Umrah season. And then after Ramadan, the Hajj season begins. The Imam alayhi salam spent these 4 months in Mecca in order to meet as many Muslims as he could from around the world to declare his revolution to the world. So no one has an excuse. No one could say on the Day of Judgment, "Oh Allah, I did not know what the revolution of Hussein was. I did not know what his message was. I never heard him speak." No one has that excuse, because the Imam met many, many people, many groups of people, many delegations in the holy city of Mecca during the Umrah season and also during the Hajj season. And he clearly informed the world that he has a very important message. Many people flocked to him. They warmly greeted him in Mecca. Probably not the Meccans themselves, but these pilgrims who had come from all parts of the Muslim Ummah. Now, there were some people who were not happy with the presence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One of them was Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He's a second cousin to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But Abdullah ibn Zubayr was an evil man who looked for power. He became the reason why his father, Az-Zubayr, deviated and turned against Imam Ali alayhi salam and fought Imam Ali alayhi salam at the Battle of Jamal. So the local Umayyads in Mecca and also Abdullah ibn Zubayr and others, they were not comfortable with the presence of Imam Hussein. Abdullah ibn Zubayr wanted the power for himself. He wanted to lead a revolution. He saw that Imam Hussein alayhi salam eclipsed him. Imam Hussein became the center of attention. That made him uneasy. So the Imam alayhi salam arrives in the holy city of Mecca. Where does he stay? A number of historical sources, such as those narrated by Al-Dhahabi and Ibn Asakir, both prominent Sunni sources, state that the Imam alayhi salam stayed in the house of Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the great uncle of Imam Hussein. They say that he stayed in his house, and his house was in the Shi'b of Abi Talib, not far from Masjid al-Haram, just across from Masjid al-Haram. So the Imam alayhi salam stayed in the house of Abbas. Now, one may pose this question. Why didn't Imam Hussein alayhi salam stay in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? His grandfather had a house in Mecca. Abu Talib, his great-grandfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, other members of Bani Hashim. Why Al-Abbas? It seems that Bani Hashim at that time had no house in Mecca. That's because Aqil, the uncle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the brother of Imam Ali, sold all of them. The Quraysh were confiscating the homes of those who had become Muslim and they went on the migration to the holy city of Medina. So anyone who would become a Muslim, he'd leave his house in Mecca and go to Medina, the Quraysh would confiscate their house. So what did Aqil do? Aqil sold those houses so that the Quraysh would not confiscate them. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet entered Mecca in year 7 of the Hijrah, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, won't you stay in your house? The Prophet said, why? Did Aqil leave for us any house? Aqil sold all of our homes. I don't have a place to go. I don't have my own house here in Mecca anymore. So the Imam alayhi salam stays in the house of Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Once the Imam alayhi salam settles in the holy city of Mecca, he writes a letter to the people of Basra. There was a difference between the people of Basra and the people of Kufa. The Kufans sent many, many letters to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, inviting him to go to Kufa. They sent him tens of thousands of letters. In fact, on one day, sometimes, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, while he was in Mecca, he would receive 600 letters from the people of Kufa. Whereas he did not receive letters from the people of Basra inviting him to come and lead them. So the Imam took the initiative and he wrote them a letter, inviting them to reject the oppression of Bani Umayyah and to stand with justice and truth. What is the difference between Basra and Kufa? By the way, Basra is the city where the Battle of Jamal took place during the caliphate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what is the difference between these two cities? The city of Basra was governed by the evil tyrant Ibn Ziyad. You've probably heard that Ibn Ziyad was the governor of Kufa, right? He later became the governor of Kufa. But initially he was the governor of Basra. Ibn Ziyad was very powerful, very intimidating. He was a savage, he was very cruel. The followers of Ahlul Bayt in Basra were intimidated. They were scared to initiate a move towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to initiate contact with Imam Hussein, to send him letters, to invite him to come to the city of Basra. On the other hand, Kufa was ruled by a man by the name of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir. He was appointed by the Umayyads, approved by Yazid ibn Muawiyah, but he wasn't a savage like Ibn Ziyad. He was a weaker governor. And so the Shia of Kufa had a lot more freedom than the Shia of Basra. Now this disturbs Yazid ibn Muawiyah. He wants a savage to rule Kufa, to persecute people and to threaten them. That's why Yazid later replaces An-Nu'man with Ibn Ziyad. So the Imam alayhi salam writes a letter while he was in Mecca to the people of Basra. The Imam sends this letter with a messenger. Do you know that this messenger of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whose name was Sulaiman, was the first martyr in the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even before Muslim ibn Aqil? We regard Muslim ibn Aqil as the first martyr of the revolution of Imam Hussein, but this messenger was killed before Muslim ibn Aqil. Ibn Ziyad had him killed, either by beheading him or crucifying him. In Ziyarat al-Nahiyah, we offer our salams to this messenger of Imam Hussein. As-salamu ala Sulaiman, Mawla al-Hussein ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen. Peace be upon Sulaiman, the servant of Imam Hussein, son of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Sulaiman had accompanied Imam Hussein alayhi salam from Medina to Mecca. So the Imam invited the people of Basra to join his revolution. The Imam would meet many Muslims from around the world gathered for the Hajj season He would invite them to join his revolution. As for the people of Kufa, after receiving all those letters, the Imam alayhi salam responds to the Kufans by telling them that he will accept their invitation, but first he will send his ambassador and his cousin Muslim ibn Aqil. So Muslim ibn Aqil leaves Mecca in the middle of Ramadan, on the 15th of Ramadan, and he arrives Kufa on the 5th of Shawwal, according to a number of reports. Now Imam Hussein alayhi salam, before sending Muslim ibn Aqil, he hints to him that they will both become shuhada and martyrs. The Imam was well aware of his fate. The Imam alayhi salam says to Muslim ibn Aqil, وَأَنَا أَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا وَأَنْتَ فِي دَرَجَةِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. It is my hope that both you and I, we become martyrs. Allah gives us the status of shuhada. The Imam alayhi salam, while in Mecca, also sends a letter to members of Bani Hashim who stayed behind in Medina. The Imam alayhi salam tells them the following, and the text of this letter is narrated by Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila Muhammad ibn Ali wa man qibalahu min Bani Hashim. This letter is from Husayn son of Ali to Muhammad son of Ali, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, the half-brother of Imam Husayn, and other members of Bani Hashim who are with him. One line. This letter of Imam Husayn is only one line. It's one of the shortest letters he ever wrote. Amma ba'd, faman lahiqa bina istashhad. The one who joins us shall become a shaheed. Waman lam yalhaq bi lam yudrik al-fatha was-salam. And the one who will not join me will not achieve the conquest. Fath means conquest, victory, will not achieve victory. Was-salam. You want victory? Join Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. But you will become a martyr. So the Imam also invited members of Bani Hashim, if you want victory, come and join me on this mission. So the Imam alayhi salam had dispatched Muslim ibn Aqil to Kufa. Muslim ibn Aqil, when he arrives Kufa, and many people give him allegiance, over 18,000, he sends a letter to Imam Hussein telling him, come. This letter was sent 27 days before the martyrdom of Muslim ibn Aqil. So in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, he receives a letter from Muslim ibn Aqil. Come to Kufa, people are with us, and 18,000 people have pledged me allegiance. So up until then, the indications were positive. The people of Kufa were enthusiastic for the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they were awaiting him. So the Imam had to set out to Kufa. He had a responsibility. He promised them that I will come to Kufa. And indeed the Imam alayhi salam followed through. But the people of Kufa did not follow through. Amongst the important events in the city of Mecca, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam spent time in Mecca, is the powerful speeches that he gave. Imagine being in Mecca during the Hajj season, as many people are flocking to Mecca, and you hear Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. 14 centuries later, we hear one word from the Imam and it shakes us and it moves us. Imagine standing in Masjid al-Haram, sitting in Masjid al-Haram, and hearing the Imam of your time, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, give you a speech. Isn't that wonderful and amazing? Two of those speeches are documented for us in history. The first one is one that is narrated by As-Sayyid ibn Tawus in his book Maqtal al-Imam al-Husayn. This is a very famous speech attributed to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I will share with you the text of this speech so we can be inspired by the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that were said in the holy city of Mecca. As we are examining the life of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Mecca shortly before his martyrdom, the Imam alayhi salam starts the sermon by saying, Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the Ahlul Bayt, one amazing characteristic of the Ahlul Bayt is that whenever they are surrounded with danger, with pain, with suffering, they thank Allah. وَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, whatever Allah wills. I submit my will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, any power you have is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he sends his peace and blessings on the Prophet and his family. Then he states powerfully, خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَىٰ وُلْدِ آدَمْ مَخَطَّ الْقِلَادَةِ عَلَىٰ جِيدِ الْفَتَاتِ. You know how death is written upon you? How death surrounds you? Just as a necklace surrounds the neck of a girl. How does a necklace surround the neck of a girl? This statement here means that a necklace is a round thing, round chain, that basically locks your neck. When it's on your neck, you cannot escape it while it's on your neck, right? That's how death surrounds us. Another meaning of this passage by Imam Hussein alayhi salam means the skin that's under the necklace. It does not separate from the neck, right? So death does not separate from you. It's a powerful, eloquent way to say that there's no escape from death. Now, why does the Imam alayhi salam use the example of a necklace? We know that a necklace is beautiful. It's a means of adornment and decoration for a woman. It seems that the Imam alayhi salam is communicating to us here that death is also beautiful. But who, for the believer, for the one who's going to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why the Imam alayhi salam states very famously, إِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً. I see death, nothing but happiness. It's beautiful. فُسْتُ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. You see how a necklace beautifies the neck area of a girl? It adorns her. Death adorns the mu'min if he dies on the path of obedience, if he dies in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Imam alayhi salam states, وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَسْلَافِي إِشْتِيَاقُ يَعْقُوبَ إِلَىٰ يُوسِفَ. I miss my ancestors. I miss those who passed before me. How much do I miss them? Just like Ya'qub missed Yusuf. Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam cried on his son Yusuf for more than 40 years out of longing. He missed him. He longed for him. Imagine Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He's 57 now and he dearly misses his family members. He misses Rasulullah, Imam Ali, Lady Fatima, Imam Hassan. He's the fifth of Ashab al-Kisa. He's the last of the Panj Ten, the people of the cloak. He missed them dearly. Try to just imagine for one moment how Imam Hussein alayhi salam felt betrayed by this ummah. But he missed his grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he states, وَخِيرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ أَنَا لَاقِي. There is a fate that has been chosen for me. I must go. The Imam doesn't mean that I'm forced to go to Karbala, but that it's my responsibility to go. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's invited me to sacrifice my life in the land of Karbala. Then the Imam says, it's as if I can see my body parts being cut into pieces by Karbala. He mentions the name of Karbala in his Meccan speech. The Imam knew his fate very well. لَا مَحِيصَ عَنْ يَوْمٍ خُطَّ بِالْقَلَمِ. There's no escape from a day that has been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, رِضَ اللَّهِ رِضَانَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. The satisfaction of Allah is our satisfaction, the Ahlul Bayt. The pleasure of Allah is our pleasure, the Ahlul Bayt. نَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِهِ. We have patience over his difficulties, over his trials and tribulations. وَيُوَفِّينَا أُجُورَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah will give us the full reward of those who are patient ones. Look at the power of Ahlul Bayt. Despite being surrounded in pain and by danger, they are satisfied with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They accept the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he states that we are the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. We do not separate from the Prophet. We follow his footsteps and we go into his same path. And Allah will gather his family in heaven. We will be in paradise with Rasulullah, and this will bring joy to the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In other words, the Imam is saying, I'm not going to back down. I am the grandson of Rasulullah, the warrior, the mujahid, the one who resisted the evil powers of his time. I will do the same. I am Hussein and I am from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Imam alayhi salam makes an invitation. Man kana badhlan fina muhjata, the one who's willing to sacrifice the blood of his heart to us. In Arabic, qalb means heart. Muhja means the blood of the heart. If you're willing to give the blood of your heart to the Ahlul Bayt and you are prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then come with us. Tomorrow morning, I am going on this journey. The Imam alayhi salam gave this sermon on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, because on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, he leaves the city of Mecca. Look at the honesty of Imam Hussein. From day one, the Imam is very clear that whoever joins me, you shall be killed. I'm not promising you power, money, positions, conquest. No. The Imam made it very clear that the one who joins me shall achieve martyrdom. Normally, in these circumstances, a leader wants supporters. You don't tell them about the dangers of a journey because you're afraid you will lose your supporters or that will weaken their resolve. Not Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He is honest and he wants to sift his companions, purify his companions. Those who want dunya will not join Imam Hussein. The Imam wants those 72 companions to be the best of the best on the face of the planet. Those who don't want dunya, they want the akhirah, they want Allah, they want Hussein. So this was one very powerful speech that the Imam alayhi salam gives in the holy city of Mecca. Another powerful speech that the Imam alayhi salam gives is one that contains many very beautiful moral lessons. The Imam alayhi salam in this speech that he gave in Mecca states, "Inna al-hilma zina," patience, forbearance, adorns you. Makes you a beautiful human being. This is the standard that Imam Hussein gives us. Anger and rage does not adorn you. Patience shows that you have a big personality, you have a big heart, you have a generous soul. That's beautiful. Patience indicates that you use your intellect, you think of the consequences of your actions. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of beauty. In the eyes of Imam Hussein, if you're a patient person, you're a patient father, patient mother, patient wife, patient husband, patient employee, patient employer, you're beautiful in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Never consider that as a sign of weakness. Then the Imam alayhi salam states, وَالْوَفَاءُ مُرُوَّ. Loyalty is a sign of manhood. It's a sign of humanity, being an appropriate, decent human being. Imam Hussein alayhi salam teaches us to be loyal to family and friends. Keep your promises. We have a tendency to forget the favors that others have on us very quickly. Imam Hussein teaches you, don't forget the favors of others. You quickly forget all the good that they did. Sometimes there's a person who's been good to you his entire life. He makes a mistake. Maybe he says something that disturbs you. He does something out of line, okay? Many of us, what do? That's it. We want to destroy this person. We change with this person. We cut all relationships with this person. Why? This person has been good to you and your family for 30 years. Now because of one misunderstanding, you're destroying all those bridges, all those achievements. The Imam says, that's not a sign of a decent human being. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how loyal he was. Years after Lady Khadija alayhi salam passed away, the Prophet would send assistance to the friends of Khadija. Why? Out of loyalty. Khadija was good to me. I want to pay her back. One way to do so is to be good to her friends. If someone was good to you, be good to their friends, to their family, to their children, to his progeny if they pass away. This is a lesson from Imam Hussein. And we see on the day of Ashura how loyal Imam Hussein was with his companions. How he would go to their bodies one by one, put his cheek on their cheek. The Imam does not abandon them. The Imam alayhi salam gave them recognition. Then the Imam alayhi salam in this sermon states, وَالْعَجَلَ سَفَهُونَ. Haste is foolishness. وَمُجَالَسَتْ أَهْلِ الدَّنَاءَةِ شَرٌ. It's evil to sit with low people. People who are greedy, jealous. They have no purpose in life, no ambition in life. Don't sit with those people who are sinful and who don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whether you like it or not, as strong as you are, if you associate with them too much and you sit with them too much, their negative qualities will impact you, will change you. These are two documented speeches that we have from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam leaves Mecca on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. It's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, when the pilgrims would pack up water with them for the journey to Arafah. Why does Imam Hussein alayhi salam leave on this day? Isn't it strange? All people are coming. Tomorrow is the day of Arafah and you leave one day before Arafah. Why? The Imam knew that he would be killed. Yazid had 30 of his men dispatched to the Hajj so they would assassinate Imam Hussein at the Hajj. And the Imam made it very clear that these people have no respect or sanctity for the house of Allah. Even if I am in Masjid al-Haram and I am holding the cloth of the Kaaba, the curtain of the Kaaba, they will assassinate me here. I don't want my blood to be shed in this holy land. By the way, Ibn Zubayr, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, tells Imam Hussein, why are you going to Kufa? Don't you know they killed your father? They betrayed your brother Hassan. Why are you going? The Imam alayhi salam told him, because I'd rather die somewhere else and be killed somewhere else than here in Mecca for my blood to be spilled. And that's exactly what happened to Ibn Zubayr. They killed him in Mecca. The Imam is telling him, I don't want such a fate. For my blood to be spilled here in Masjid al-Haram. And you know what? No one would claim responsibility. It's Hajj. There are so many people here. Somebody assassinated Imam Hussein and it's over. Yazid would have easily absolved himself from the killing of Imam Hussein. This would have led to the failure of the mission of Imam Hussein. So he had to leave the city of Mecca. He had to leave the Hajj. Secondly, it's as if the Imam, by leaving one day before the Hajj, is sending a message to all Muslims. What's the point of this Hajj when you are being ruled by a man like Yazid? You think Allah will accept your Hajj when you've abandoned a greater responsibility? What's the point of these rituals when you don't fear Allah, you're not willing to sacrifice? This was a powerful message by the Imam alayhi salam. So the Imam alayhi salam leaves Mecca with the permission of Allah, guided by Allah, guided by Jibra'il. In fact, there's a hadith that's mentioned in Bihar al-Anwar. Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi in his book Nafas al-Mahmum also mentions this hadith. It's from Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas states that before Imam Hussein headed to Iraq, he was standing by the door of Kaaba. Jibra'il put his hand in the hands of Imam Hussein and he pledged him allegiance and he gave him his support. We don't know how Ibn Abbas reached this conclusion. Did Imam Hussein tell him? Did Imam Hussein grant him special permission to see Jibra'il? Did Jibra'il come in a human form as he would do so at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi? We do not know. But it's a fascinating narration by Ibn Abbas in which he states that Jibra'il pledged allegiance to Al-Imam Al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. In these final moments, let's now remember how Imam Hussein left Medina. We examined the life of Imam Hussein in Mecca. But how did he leave the holy city of Medina on such a night? We remember the departure of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from Medina. After Imam Hussein left the palace of the governor who tried to force him to pledge allegiance to Yazid and Imam Hussein refused, he goes to the grave of his grandfather, Rasulullah. He falls on the grave of his grandfather and he says his farewell. He gives his salutations to his grandfather. He dearly missed his grandfather. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Ana al-Husayn ibn Fatima. This is Hussein, the son of Fatima. I am your son. I'm an offshoot from you. I'm your offspring, ya Rasulallah. I am your grandson whom you left in this ummah. Bear witness, ya Rasulullah, how your nation is betraying me. They've abandoned me. And I complain to you, Ya Rasulullah. Until I meet you, I have this complaint that your ummah left me and abandoned me, and they abandoned the religion of Islam. The Imam spent that night raki'an, sajidan, in the state of sujood, ruku', until the morning. The Imam used his time to supplicate to Allah, to pray the night prayer. But then he's overcome with sadness again and sorrow, and he begins to cry, and he says, Allahumma inna hadha aqabru nabiyyika Muhammad. Oh Allah, this is the grave of your Prophet Muhammad, and I am the son of his daughter. Ya Allah, you see what's happening to me. You see the big journey that I have to make. Oh Allah, I love goodness and I despise evilness. And I ask you, Ya Allah, by the greatness of the one in this grave, by the greatness of Rasulullah, oh Allah, choose for me what satisfies you. Whatever you want, Ya Allah, you choose for me. Before dawn, Imam Hussein alayhi salam falls asleep. He sees his grandfather in a dream approaching with a very large group of angels. The Prophet tells him, my beloved Hussein, it's as if I can see you soon, stained in your blood, slaughtered in the land of Karbala, killed by an evil group of my ummah. And you'll be thirsty, O Hussein, but they will deny you water. They will not give you any water. And they expect my shafa'ah on top of all that. May Allah never grant them my shafa'ah. No, those who killed Imam Hussein will not get an ounce of shafa'ah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the very words of Rasulullah. Then the Prophet tells him, Ajjil ilayna. Ya Hussein, hasten to us. Your father, your mother, your brother, we all miss you. Hasten to us. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him, Ya Rasulullah, please take me to you. I don't want to go back to this dunya, this difficult dunya that is full of sorrow and pain. Take me to you. Ya Rasulullah, I don't need this dunya anymore. Put me in your grave with you. Let me leave now. The Prophet says, no, Allah has kept a place for you in paradise. You shall achieve it through shahada and martyrdom. You have a mission to fulfill, my beloved Hussein. Yes, then he wakes up from his dream. He farewells the grave of his grandfather. Then he goes to the grave of his mother Fatima. Ummah Fatima, my beloved mother Fatima, I farewell you. And he farewells the grave of his brother Al-Hassan. He goes home. He tells his family, members of Bani Hashim, yes, now the time has come. We have to leave, oh my family. Let's pack. Let us leave. Imam Hussein, according to some reports, had a young daughter by the name of Fatima. She was extremely ill. The Imam told her, you cannot join us on this journey. You're too sick for you to join us, for you to travel. Stay with Salama, she'll take care of you. When she sees the caravan of Imam Hussein going, she breaks into tears. Aba, Aba ya Hussein, khuduni ma'akum. My father Hussein, please take me with you. And if you cannot take me because I'm too ill, then keep Abdullah al-Radi', the infant baby Ali Asghar. Keep him with me so that I have some consolation. The Imam tells her, no, he's too young. He needs his mother. He breastfeeds. I cannot leave him here. She begins to cry. When the caravan of Imam Hussein leaves, she went back to the house of Hussein. She saw the house of Hussein empty. This young Fatima, this daughter of Imam Hussein. Very depressing, very sorrowful. She begins to cry. She would constantly ask Salama any news about my father. She would write letters to Imam Hussein on his way to Kufa when he was in Mecca. Until one day the news reached her that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been massacred in Karbala. Imagine what happened to the heart of this little daughter. The Imam leaves the city of Medina, O believers, with glory. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, the moon of Bani Hashim, was there. Zainab felt safe. All these men of Bani Hashim are surrounding them, protecting them. But O believers, several months later, after the Arba'een, how did they enter the city of Medina? Lady Zainab entered the city of Medina without a guardian like Abbas, without a protector like Hussein. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Raise your hands in dua with broken hearts and tears. Allah has promised to answer our prayers. Let's recite this holy verse 5 times together. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our master, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi. O Allah, make us amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. O Allah, all those who are ill, grant them a speedy recovery. Those suffering from the COVID virus, protect them, Ya Allah. Protect us from this virus and lift this affliction from us. O Allah, grant us the ziyarah and shafa'ah of Imam Hussein. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.